Well, normally we have our kids go to their class, but today they're going to stay in church. So we're excited to have them with us, and maybe that means I'll go a little shorter because they're in here. We'll see. We'll see. But guys, we're excited to just share with you this morning some of the things that we learned over the week at VBS. And I mean, something that even as we went into the week of VBS, knowing that while we are going to share truths to these kiddos, we desperately need those same truths. And so, going into it, you find yourself each day telling the kids how much Jesus loves them, how much he's for them, and yet realizing that there's a bunch of adults in the room. There's a bunch of adults who finished their workday and scrounged together, threw on their shirt, and came to VBS and needed to hear the same reality. And so my hope is that as the kids are reminded of the things they learned this week, that we would equally be reminded of these truths, whether they be seemingly basic or foundational, may they be encouraging to us this week. So, as you notice, the theme of VBS was living it out, right? This idea that what Jesus has done in our lives would lead us to live differently, that we would love differently, that we would serve differently, we would forgive. And so that was the theme of the week. And so I wanted to pull some various stories, various scriptures, and even for you kids, I know we spend each Sunday together or every other Sunday together, so you hear from me enough. But I'm going to try and gear it towards you even more as we focus this week. But we're just excited again to be discussing these things together and see what the Lord has in store for us. So we're going to flip around in our Bibles a little bit. If you have your Bibles, if not, just follow along with me. But the verse for this week was John 13:34. John 13:34. And it reads, "I give you a new command. Love one another. You must love one another just as I have loved you." And so again, the same concept being that because of what Christ has done for me, now there's an outflow, right? It's not that we spent the whole week saying, be better humans just because we said to be better humans, right? It's not that we said, oh, love people and do this and do this and do this because then God will love you. No, it's that God loves us. And when we experience what God has done for us, it naturally changes how we respond to other people. Is it still hard? Yes. One of the first things that we focused on was simply being kind to one another. Be kind to one another. Unfortunately, it is seemingly true that if you spend enough time in the church, you don't always leave the church feeling like people are kind to you. Hopefully, here at Lake Sharon Community Church, that's different. Hopefully, you encounter people from Lake Sharon Community Church and you're like, they are kind people. But we all know of stories of situations where people walk away from church and they experience nothing of the sorts, right? So there is a measure of us first being kind to the brothers and sisters of the faith, right? But then what does it look like for those that may not love me back, right? So one of the verses that they looked at was Ephesians 4:32. It says, the first part of it says, be kind and tender to one another. I want you to flip to Luke chapter 6, if you will, if you have your Bible. Luke chapter 6. Jesus gives us some pretty strong instruction here. starting in verse 31. Actually, I'll start in verse 27. So I wanted us to even expand on what you guys learned this week about loving one another, and even take it one step further to our engagement with people that may not treat us well, our engagement with people that may not have our best interests at heart. In verse 27, we'll start there. It says, "But I say to you who listen, love your enemies, do what is good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone hits you on the cheek, offer the other also." Sound fun? Lovely. Slap my other cheek, right? No, y'all people are like, no, not me. Not me. "And if anyone takes away your coat, don't hold back your shirt either. Give to anyone who asks of you. And from one who takes your things, don't ask for them back. Just as you want others to do for you, do the same for them. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do what is good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. Even if you lend, and if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to be repaid in full. Rather, love your enemies, do what is good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is gracious to the ungrateful and evil. Be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful." This measure of living it out, this kindness to others, even extends to the very person who would do the very opposite to us. As he says, they hit you on one cheek, turn the other. Now, I think kids are a little bit more kind to each other. You know what I'm saying? Like kids, they're playing, they're roughhousing. We even had this at VBS. Go figure. Okay? A little bit of roughhousing. One hits one, the other hits the other. Right? You know what they get up and do after? They go play. They go play. If we're in church this morning and one adult stands up and punches the other, how's it gonna go? It ain't gonna go the same, right? Something changes over time. You're like, you gonna hit me? It ain't gonna go well here, right? And yet, I would still bring you back to this. And what does he say? If he hits you on that cheek, give him the other. That's not normal. That's not normal. But we have an example in Jesus Christ himself that when he was spit on and beat and mocked and scorned, what did he do? He didn't do it back. Right? When Jesus' disciples want to protect him in the garden from being arrested, and one cuts off the ear of one of the guards. Right? What does Jesus do? He picks up that ear out of the dirty ground and puts it back on. Right? I mean, we have an example that is contrary to everything that is just seemingly natural inside of us. Right? Someone mistreats me, they ain't going to get my best. And yet, the instruction that we have is someone wants to take your coat from you, give them your shirt. Right? Someone want to speak ill of you? Pray for them. Love them. Right? Is it hard to do? Yes. But some of us adults need to watch some of these kids, because I would say to some degree it's not that hard. But there's something in us as adults that's like, right? Be kind to one another. At the end of verse 35, I don't know what your translation says, but It says, for he is gracious, meaning God himself, is gracious to the ungrateful and the evil. Which, may I remind you, is us before a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are the ungrateful and evil who needs a God who's willing to love us despite our actions, to love us despite what we say and think and do. And so his example to us is what leads us to act differently. Many of you know the story of the Good Samaritan, right? How there's a man who's been robbed and beaten and is left on the side of the road. And you have seemingly religious people that walk by him. And instead of helping him, they look down on him and they keep going. They have places to be and they have things to do, right? And then as the story would go, the Samaritan, who was seemingly an outcast and somebody, or not an outcast, but somebody that was outside, I mean, someone that was not to be associated with, would stop and care for this man and pay for his stay at the inn, pay for his care, right? Went out of his way. And so again, even just this measure of kindness that is regardless of the cost to us, regardless of the inconvenience to us, because of what Christ has done, we can be kind to people, whether they're kind to us or not. Also just note in that passage where he starts sharing essentially like, if you love the people that love you in return, well, so does everyone else, right? If you give to the person who's going to give back to you, well, so does everyone else. This is where I challenge us as a body of believers that sometimes, opposite of what I said earlier, sometimes we really are really good internally. We care for each other. I mean, we'll sacrifice. I know right now, without question, if I asked Tom for his shirt, he would take it off and give it to me without question, right? I also know that if some random guy down the street asked Tom for his shirt, he would give him his shirt. That's not true for everyone. I probably lean a little bit the opposite. I'm like, Tom, you can have whatever I got, but someone random asking for something, I may be a little hesitant. But what does the scripture teach us, right? Don't think about doing something for someone who you know is going to do something for you. Don't just love the people in your life that are going to love you back and then some. Go beyond that. Another thing that we talked about this week was forgiving one another. Again, I would say that kids tend to be a little bit more forgiving. The other day, my youngest, Hendrix, was at my daughter's gymnastics. Gymnastics. She was at gymnastics. And some little boy just took a chunk out of his, you know, cheek, like bit his cheek, something fierce. And again, I think about us as adults and I'm like, we would be like, do y'all know what I'm saying? Okay, we as adults would be like, this will end today and we will never communicate ever again, right? Like, there's something about how kids, even like as siblings or just in their friend group. I mean, I think of our home group. We've got like 30 kids in the home group, and they all are having to function together as siblings and not be siblings. You know, something happens, and then we move on. We move on. And yet, how many adults right now in the room have things that are just not dealt with? Like, have pains from someone else that are still bogging down our view of who God is, what he does, I mean, do you know what I'm saying? Like, we have these things that we have not dealt with, or we feel like we can't be forgiven ourselves. Like, how could God forgive me? So Ephesians 4:32, the second half is one of the verses they looked at, which was, forgive one another just as God forgave you because of what Christ has done. Right? So again, just like I said at the beginning, it's not, hey, just be really good at forgiving people. Just go out and forgive people. Go, go, go. No, first and foremost, I have to know what it's like to be forgiven by the creator of the universe, and then I can give out forgiveness in a whole different way. Now, again, it's hard. Even for those of us who know the forgiveness that God has given to us, it's still hard. It's hard to forgive people. Some of the wrongs that we face or will face in this life seem beyond our comprehension to forgive someone. And yet, God, through Jesus Christ, has offered that to us and to the worst of the worst in what we would categorize in humanity. He has offered the same. One of the verses we looked at was 1 John 4. If you make your way to the back of your Bible. First John chapter 4. Starting in verse 9, it says, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Dear friends, if God has loved us in this way, we also must love one another. The same concept, right? If God, through Jesus Christ, has forgiven us of our sins, right? Paul writes in Colossians that it canceled the record of debt on our behalf. Right? As far as the east is from the west, so far has he cast away our sins. Right? If that is true of us and that is what I experience, then forgiving someone for wronging me takes on a whole new, you know, look. Like I have the ability and even the command. If you have been forgiven, forgive others. We just complicate it, right? We just complicate it. If you've been forgiven, forgive others. And we're like, but. You don't know what they did, right? But you don't know, but, and our instruction remains the same, right? We have been forgiven, therefore we forgive. I told you we'd be moving around in our Bibles today, so I'm going to take you back to Matthew 18 for a story, a parable. Matthew 18, starting verse 21. It starts out with Peter, and he's going to ask. He's going to ask Jesus how many times he has to forgive someone, right? Is it just once? Kids, do we just forgive once? One and done? We'll see. Yeah, Peter says to him, Lord, in verse 21, how many times could my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? Which is already kind of generous, right? I mean, Peter started out with like, so he can wrong me seven times, but seven is enough. Do you feel that? How many of your siblings have already wronged you seven times this morning? You, Brayden? Clara has wronged you that many times. Wow, that's crazy. Okay, right? That's how many times your parents feel like you didn't listen this morning. Is at least 7 times. But what does Jesus say? In verse 22, I tell you, not as many as 7, Jesus said to him, but 70 times 7. For this reason, the kingdom of God can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began to settle the accounts, one who owed 10,000 talents, which was their money back in the day, this person that owed 10,000 talents was brought before him. Since he had no way to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, and his children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. At this, the slave fell face down before him and said, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you everything." Then the master of that slave had compassion, released him, and forgave him the loan. Right? So that's the beginning of the story. The man has this massive debt. He needs to sell everything and pay it back. He can't. And he begs, essentially, like, give me time, show me mercy. And what did the master do? He went one step further. Did he say, like, hey, I'll put you on a payment plan? No. He said, I have forgiven you of your debt. Right? Let's see what happens next. In verse 28, but that slave then went out and he found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. Minimal compared to his debt that was forgiven. He grabbed him and started choking him, and he said, pay what you owe. At this, his fellow slave fell down and began begging him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he wasn't willing. On the contrary, he went and threw him into prison until he could pay what he was owed. Now, we just talked about, once I've received forgiveness, I give forgiveness, right? In this story, Jesus is giving the example of this man who was forgiven a large debt and then went out and found someone who owed him but pennies in comparison and showed him no mercy, gave him no measure of forgiveness, and threw him in prison. The others saw this, and they were deeply distressed, and they went and reported to their master everything that had happened. Then after he had summoned him, his master said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And his master got angry, handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed. And listen to this strong word. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. So it's serious, right? It's serious for those of us who have experienced the forgiveness that Christ died on the cross to give to us. Forgiveness to other people is just candidly not optional, right? Does that mean it's not hard? No, it's going to be hard. Does that mean you're going to be best friends and always wandering around together? No, it doesn't mean that. But there is this measure of forgiveness that will naturally flow. Again, it will be hard, but there will be this the Spirit of God inside of me reminding me of all that I have been forgiven of. Right? Empowering me to then do the same for others. Another thing we talked about this week was serving one another. We have the greatest example being that Jesus himself did not come to be served, right? Rather, to serve and give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus himself as an example of someone who left his place and came down, taking on the form of a servant, right? Again, him being our greatest example of how we would live our life. Galatians 5:13 is one of their scriptures from this week. It's, "My brothers and sisters, you were chosen to be free, but do not use your freedom as an excuse to live under the power of sin. Rather, serve one another in love." Right? Find ways to serve our brothers and sisters. Find ways not only to serve in the church and in the body, but when you're out and about and when you're at school and when you're at work, right? Being willing to set aside some of the things that maybe you want and serve someone, because our Father in heaven did that for us. Acts chapter 2, 42, if you want to turn there, this will be one of our last main scriptures. Thanks for jumping around with me today. Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47 is where we'll be. So picks up, it says, "And they devoted themselves," this is the church, in the early church, it says, "they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to the prayers. Then fear came over everyone, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers," this is what I want you to hear, "now all the believers were together. They held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had need." Right? Naturally, it's not that this morning I'm asking you to all sell all that you have and put it in a pile. Okay? Well, Tony is. He'll take anything. His Venmo will be available. But, you know, sometimes just even hearing that and realizing that what was true of them is not just, we're all great because we sold all our stuff and, you know, now we have all this money. No, the idea behind it was, I'm willing to take care of you just as you're willing to take, we're willing to take care of each other, right? If someone has a need among us, we are willing to come together, not because I want you to do this for me later when I'm sick and want you to bring me food, right? No, because we have all things in common, because we have experienced what God has done for us, right? I am willing to do for you, right? And again, some of that does still hit at some of our, the things that we hold dear. Because again, if the instruction was, yeah, go on and sell, you know, sell all your stuff and put it in the pile, there may only be like 5 people left. Right? I mean, that's just the truth. So sometimes there's even a measure for us of just realizing that in our service to one another, maybe there's some things that I hold really close that the Lord is like, hey, you know, all those things you hold really close, there's like 5 families in your church that really just are trying to get by this month. You know, I mean, those are just like little examples of ways in which we serve. Right? I think of, at least my kids. I mean, anytime I'm gone at work, they like do a new coloring sheet. You know, something they've made for me to put up on the wall, right? And it's little, and my wall is full of them at work, right? But what is that about, like, kids where we, like, we create something and we're like, I want to give this to you, right? Sometimes that's just what we as adults need to do a little bit more of. Is like, I'm just thinking about you, and I just wanted to do this for you, right? and just finding ways to give of ourselves to other people. The ways in which people served this week at VBS is a great example, but finding ways to truly be on the journey together, right? One of the last things that we talked about this week was loving one another. So we've talked about being kind to one another, forgiving one another, serving one another, and loving one another. And you guys know, right? Love is patient. Love is kind, right? The list goes on. One that always sticks out to me is that love keeps no record of wrong, right? It's not envious. It's not boastful. And so when we think about the countless instructions in Scripture to love one another as Christ has loved us, right? Finding ways to live that out is what we're all trying to figure out. All of us still go to work with difficult people. The kids are about to go to school with some difficult classmates, or maybe you yourself are the difficult one. Teacher's about to get ready for the kids to come back, and they're going to have to deal with you all as parents, right? But finding ways, because of what God has done for me, to live that outwardly to others is what we focused on all week, and what we as a church family should be willing to exemplify for the younger generation that will one day fill this room. When some of you, including myself, so there's no age discrimination here, are long and gone, right? First Peter 4:8 says, above all, maintain an intense love for one another. An intense love for one another. I listened to a preacher the other day that was talking about just like in American church, how sometimes if someone just takes the Scripture too seriously and it, you know, comes to church and is like just on fire, some people be like, okay, chill out, bro. It doesn't have to be that serious. You don't have to love every person. You don't have to forgive every person. You don't have to serve every person, right? He was kind of like, well, no, but you do. That is what you've been called to. And so if somebody comes in here and they are fired up and ready to go and they want to love people today, we better be stoking that flame. We better be saying, come on, right? And if we're among those who are like, whoa, chill, 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 something better change, right? Something better change. And we want to be that example to you guys. We want to be that example for those that come and visit us, those who see us at work, at school, at all the things, right? We want our lives to reflect what has happened in our hearts, how our heart of stone has been changed to a heart of flesh, not because we did a bunch of good things, not because we said all the right things, not because we went to VBS 10 years straight, but because Christ has rescued and redeemed my life. Right? All the decorations, all the fun, all the dancing is merely just that, apart from Jesus Christ. It's just that. It will fade. It will go away. Right? But what will remain is our relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing that the Creator of the universe, not by any merit of our own, not by any goodness of our own, saw fit to die the death that we deserved, leave us with a helper to navigate doing all these things in the Holy Spirit, right? So my challenge to you guys today is to live it out. Live it out. Live it out. Pray with me.